Andy. Just to let you know, Laura Jane is here. You just can't see her. Morning, Ali. Oh, morning, Jane.
Oh, Angela, the intrigue. Yeah. I'm just going to read the
camera. Morning, Lynn. And Jack.
Good morning.
Wendy. Morning, Margaret.
Good morning. You all right?
Yeah.
That's me, my sound was turned down.
Morning, Steve.
Morning.
Oh, morning, Agnes. And morning, people on the phone. Mary, I'm sure, is one of you.
Anne Anderson's on the phone as well.
Right. Morning, Anne. Just got a problem with one of my co-hosts. She's been thrown out. Mary, Nicole, Karen, alias Fourth iPad.
Morning.
Morning. Lovely to see all your smiling faces. Margaret, Catherine's got a bit of a problem. Oh, she's maybe on the phone to you. But I'll do the PowerPoint until she can get back in. A very warm welcome to our worship this Sunday, and I'm delighted to say that I'm doing very little of this service. Our worship team have done a wonderful job, and there's lots of involvement from different people. Jean Haston has been fantastic in putting together the PowerPoint, and as you'll notice, it's a bit more professional than the ones that I usually put together. So thank you, Jean, for that. I don't think we have any intimations other than just to welcome everybody today. We are here to worship God. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because he first loved us, and God's love is a perfect love, which drives out all fear. And God looks at each one of us and sees us as gorgeous. We're going to have our opening psalm. Oh, yes, today's service is all about the healing of the paralyzed man. And our opening psalm is verses from Psalm 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy.
Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you.
You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long.
Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And our opening worship hymn is a very well-known children's hymn. I'm afraid the video doesn't have the words on it, but I'm sure you would know them all yourselves. Or if you've got a hymn book there, it's number 351, Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands. And I hope you enjoy the video. It's children singing, and I think it's just so sweet. Like having all the children, all the jigsaw in church with us, isn't it? So today's story we're going to look at is the paralyzed man. And you maybe remember that Jesus was in a house and there was crowds and crowds of people all wanting to get close to Jesus, to be healed by him and to be able to touch him and hear him. And these friends brought the man who was paralyzed. That means somebody who couldn't move for himself, so he couldn't walk himself. So they were carrying him on a stretcher. But they got to the house and there was no room. There was no way they could get in the door. So they decided to go up on the roof. Now, this got me thinking. I wonder if you're thinking about that story. And you read that they made a hole in the roof and lowered him in and thinking, did they take all the slates and the tiles off the roof first? Did they have to take down the chimney? What about all the stuff we've got stored in the loft? Did they have to throw that all out and then burrow through all the plaster and then finally be able to lower their friend? It'd be a bit daft if they did. But of course, houses in Jesus' day were a bit different. And we've got some pictures to show you of that. Not sure if we're going to get them up. Okay, Catherine's still having problems. This is a picture of a village, maybe not quite as long ago as Jesus lived, but it gives you an idea of what their stone houses were like. And many of them, as you can see, had flat roofs. And it's not actually visible in that picture, but many of them also, even to this day, have stairs that go up the outside so that you can get onto the roof. And often, when a couple get married, they will just build another layer on top of mum and dad's house, and that will be their home. And they never finish off the roof, because then their children will come and they'll build another house on top of that. But in Jesus' day, the roofs were made of just like reeds and wood. These are a couple of pictures that I took when I went to the Nazareth village, which is an amazing reconstruction of a village as it would have been in Jesus' time. The lady on the right is in costume, and she's showing how they spun wool in the days before we had spinning wheels. And as she was speaking and we were learning about that, I looked up at the ceiling and I thought, oh, this would make a good picture to explain the story of the paralyzed man being lowered through the roof. So the picture on the left is just looking up at that roof. And you can see it'd be a lot easier to make a hole through that than it is through our modern European roofs. And then, of course, having made the hole, they were able to lower the paralyzed man down into the middle of the crowd, just in front of Jesus. I think one of the most important things that the parable teaches us is about how we can help our friends, how we can take them to Jesus when they're feeling weak and tired. And I'll put my hand up. I've had a difficult week and I've been feeling really tired. And I'm so glad that I knew that the worship team were taking most of the service today. And Jigsaw did something really, really special for me. A box was delivered to my door with lovely wrapping on it. And it says, oops, some wee things. Oh, I need to stop sharing, sorry, so that you can see me. So you should be able to see the box, and it says there's some wee things for my garden. And I'll show you what these wee things are. Beautiful painted stones. So I was only going to show you a few of them, but I couldn't decide which ones to show you. So if you bear with me, I'm going to show you all the stones I received, because they're just fantastic. This one's some strange animal. I think it might be a frog. That was from Rowan. The first rainbow doesn't say who it was from. I really love this one. I miss you. And that was Kyle that made that one for me. This is pretty amazing, isn't it? Very clearly a dog. I don't know if Jasper will try and attack it, but I put it out. That was from Jennifer Orr. Another, of course, this is a heavy one. I think I might keep this in the house as a doorstop. A lovely, lovely rainbow. And that's from Caroline Orr. Oh, isn't this one brilliant? the ladybird. And that was you that made that one. It's just such a good ladybird. Best ladybird I've ever had in the garden. I just hope the cat doesn't catch the ladybird. A lovely cat from Jennifer Orr. And, oh, yeah. Life in lockdown. On one side, and it's got a lovely rainbow on the other. And that's from Eva. Super, super. Another rainbow. Very colourful one. And this says on the back, I love rainbows, from Katie Storer. And of course, it always helps to have hope. A lovely stone saying hope. That doesn't tell me who it's from. Got a strange beastie here. I'm not sure what it is. I'm sure it's sniffing through its nose to find out what's going on. And I don't know who made that one either. A butterfly. Beautiful butterfly. There's lots of butterflies around at the moment, aren't there? And that's from Caroline Orr. And the last one is maybe one of the best. It just says faith. And that sums it all up, doesn't it? So thank you, Jack, for making a lovely blue stone with faith on it. So I feel so fortunate to have such a wonderful group of people thinking of me and doing these lovely things. So thank you all. And let's come together in prayer. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for the stories in the Bible, particularly today the story of the paralyzed man and how his four friends carried him to Jesus. Help us to know that in many different ways we can do that for our friends. And thank you so much for every one of our jigsaw who have done so much to lift my spirits this week. And I pray that they enjoyed making these stones as well. And let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is one that's not in the hymn books, but the tune, I think you'll realise, is very well known. The tune is Ode to Joy. And this is another hymn that Audrey found on the internet and shared with me. The words are, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. A really lovely hymn. wonderful, joyful music leads us sunward. I think a wonderful hymn. Thank you for that. We're now going to be led in prayer by Robert Allen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise and thank you for the opportunities that you give us. For as Jesus called the people of old, so too you call us, that we may walk in the footsteps of your Son. This morning, we respond to his words, meeting separately, but united in purpose, in our houses, which we have transformed into places of worship. It gladdens us that you count us as your followers, alongside the fishermen of Galilee, the people of the Old Testament, and the people of the early church. Loving Father, we confess that we have often followed our own paths, ignoring the voice that has been calling us. You have offered guidance and teaching to your people, but we have chosen not to learn from your wisdom. Our minds have been entranced by worldly things, and we have paid little attention to the wonders of eternity. Forgive us, Lord, that we may hear your voice calling again, so that we may renew our discipleship and once more follow you and walk in your footsteps. Lord Jesus Christ, give us courage as we journey with you, so that we can face the difficult challenges that lie ahead. Give us strength and patience along the way, so that we may keep on marching wherever you lead us, so that our discipleship may be fulfilled. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Robert. We're now going to hear Jim Sinclair reading our gospel story. It's from Mark chapter 2 and verses 3 to 12.
Mark 2, verses 3 to 12. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since he could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, he made an opening in the roof above Jesus by begging to it and unrolled the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk.' I want you to know that the Son of Man is at work on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. Let me tell you, and the case of God saying, "We have never seen him like this." Amen. God bless us to the new God.
Thank you, Jim. I think my internet might be a bit not very good today, so sorry if you're not hearing me clearly. But I'm delighted that having issued an invitation to members of our worship team and our congregation to think about this passage and write their own reflection. We've got two wonderful reflections, both very different and both very personal. The first one is going to be read for us now by Laura Jane, who wrote it.
A caring social distance. Be smart, keep 2 meters apart. Phrase what you know a lot just now. What happens when you can't follow this advice? Working in a care home, which is a mix of nursing and residential and dementia care needs, it's difficult to maintain the required 2 metres. Of course, with some residents it's easier than others, but in order to ensure the safety of both residents and staff, we spend the entire time wearing the building behind masks. These masks, although an important safety measure, are a major communication barrier when delivering compassionate care. The communication barrier is particularly prominent with the residents living with dementia. But unfortunately, the dementia unit is where the masks are more necessary, as this is where the isolation within individual rooms is the hardest. Many people living with dementia are already living in an altered reality. But adding the masks, there's a new thing they cannot identify the source of because they cannot see that moving to indicate where it's taking them. Resulting in stress experienced by residents are complicated distancing. As the individual require more hands-on support from a second or even a staff member in order to provide safe and compassionate care. To get to the point of multiple staff members being required for returning residents, I take kinship of the gens of the paralyzing man. The man stands at all perimeter to ensure his comfort, little to no thought of the impact on themselves. Just like those working within the social care sector, the residents or staff users. Mark what the guidelines and society advice. In different times, the nurse has saved me, and I think must have been one of the paralyzed man's friends, the idea for them to send. As one of the 366 do not give the nurses within the title. And as such, it gives me the strength and courage to carry on every day. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. And overall, I remember that I'm only able to do this because it is part of what was planned out for me. I did not require the approval of others. So I should stop to people, please, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Thank you so much, Laura Jane. A very moving reflection, and I hope you know that you are, and all those you work with, are in our prayers continually. It must be very difficult. And it struck me that you are really being a channel of God's peace in the work you do. So hymn number 528 is our next song, and this is a version sung by Susan Boyle.
Channel of your peace, where there's despair. here in life, let me bring hope. There is darkness, only light. Where the sadness ever joined.
Beautiful hymn. I'm sure you'll agree. Apologies, we are having a few internet problems this morning. I'm seeing that most folk were managing to hear Laura Jane, although it was a bit crackly. I think we'll not repeat it for just now, but if enough people want us to, we'll try and repeat it later. We now move on to our second reflection, which is again a very personal reflection written by Margaret Hunter. And this is going to be read for us by Jenny Coburn. We'll hope that her internet is going to be better than mine and Jim and Laura Jane's. Jenny, over to you.
The parable of the paralysed man. For many years, I have struggled and never really understood it that well. Why would anyone believe that people with illness or disabilities had done something wrong and their illness was a sort of punishment? I never liked the thought of this, especially knowing we have all done things we aren't proud of. Not any of us is perfect. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. John 8:7. This really makes me think too. Do we know how far we'd go to help family, friends or neighbours in their hour of need? If push came to shove, would you do it? I've tried my very best to help where I could and I pray I will continue to do so. But these four friends who had a very determined, radical and unwavering faith push through every barrier to overcome and receive the ultimate goal. The friends took the man for physical healing, but Jesus gave the man what he needed, not what he wanted, not right away at least. He took away the man's sins and then healed him. The spiritual healing was much more important than the physical healing. This absolute faith displayed by the four men is my goal. No one is without sin, but if we have faith and a true belief that God does forgive our sins, then we will have the confidence to reach out and achieve all that God has planned for each one of us. In Forth, we didn't take a paralysed man to be healed, but I have always felt that in Forth we are a big family. We are here to support and help each other when the need arises. We laugh, play, hurt and cry together. This has never been more evident than over the last few months with lots of people helping out in different ways, doing their wee bit. The food hub, the volunteers delivering food parcels and leaflets, the help with online services through the resource centre, with the volunteers out cutting the grass and tidying the village for our gala week, and neighbours just being neighbourly and checking in on those in need. Then we've had the scarecrow hunt over the last couple of weeks, helping to lift everyone's spirits, bringing a little cheer back. God has certainly blessed us all with good neighbours and some great weather, which has helped us through the pressures of lockdown. And although we've cried together too, as we've said goodbye to some of our friends, we know these friends are now safe in God's house with Him. Thinking back to the story, and the teachers doubting Jesus' authority to forgive sins, Jesus made it clear to everyone he was the Son of Man and didn't have authority to forgive sins before he healed the man. Jesus wants us to know that the church is not about the rules, regulations, red tapes, or have the pews in and out. It's all about the people and continuing to deepen our relationship with God and helping others to know him. Someone once said, not knowing Jesus is like having a present for a long time, but you never ever open it. We need to help them open it. We need that unwavering faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Proverbs 3:5. I took part in a Church of Scotland webinar on Friday about worship, and now and moving forward, and the moderator ended with a clip from a song called Heart of Worship. I think this says it well.
Thank you so much, Jenny, for reading it, and Margaret for writing such a heartfelt and very, very relevant reflection. Many of you will know that this week we've had three funerals. On Thursday, we laid to rest dear Agnes Harkness, a dedicated member of our church for so many years, so hard to say goodbye to her. And then on Friday, we laid to rest Hugh Gallagher, who'd been a baker in the village for, well, his whole life, really, since he left school at 15. And then yesterday, we laid to rest Peter Tennant. Peter's Tennant stories are such a regular sight on the roads. And of course, his dear wife, Catherine, is a great member of our church, our guild. Please hold all these families in your hearts. And again, I just want to say thank you to everybody, the number of people who stood and lined the streets and clapped for all three funerals really touched my heart and that of the families. Thank you. Let's listen to this wonderful worship song, Heart of Worship, by Matt Redman.
Sick face, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
Shalom and welcome to Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, located not far away from where
search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Yeah, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
We're now going to be led in our final prayers by Stephen Hunter.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence with us and for your care and protection at this trying time. We thank you for the blessings of family and friends. We thank you that you have power to forgive sins and to change lives. And we thank you that you have power over nations and rulers. We pray, Father, for wisdom for our leaders in Edinburgh and Westminster, and also those with locally delegated authority, that they will hear your voice and act justly. We pray for your blessing on those who work among the needy. We pray for all those caring for others in various ways and those entering emergency situations. We pray that you would protect them from sickness and from physical danger. We pray for your peace and your wisdom for all our people with the extra pressures caused by lockdown. We pray for an end to the violence and demonstrations and the recent attacks such as in Reading and Glasgow. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and who are grieving at this time, for those who are suffering or fearful or lonely. We pray to Lord, be near to us this day. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to be channels of your peace in this time of fearfulness. Help us to be good friends to our neighbours and to all those around us, in Jesus' name. O Lord, through your grace, may we be inspired to live as those who choose your path of light, that the darkness of our fears and doubts may be dispelled by Christ's presence. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Steve, and all the worship team, and all of you for joining us in worship today. We're going to finish with a wonderful, rousing hymn. It's number 352, if you've got the hymn book at home. Oh, for a thousand tongues. We've got a great choir to lead us, so if we can't manage to sing, it's not a problem.
Oh,
We maybe haven't had 1,000 voices, but it's been very special to have so many different voices from within our church, each sharing a bit of themselves in today's service. Thank you all so much. And as we go into the week ahead, let's remember to keep loving our neighbours, caring for each other, and trusting in Jesus. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each and every one of us today and forevermore. Amen. For those who can stop and chat, I will now divide you into breakout rooms. Everybody seems to like that. I'm just going to do it at random today because it's quicker than me trying to